welcome to This Xbox Life, episode 114. My name is Mark, a.k.a. Wingman 709, and with me this week is good old trusty BJ Swick 33. Woo-hoo. Also known as?
Braun.
Notice I switched it up there, you know, gave your gamer tag instead of your name.
Yep. So, I like it. Very good. Stop wasting everybody's time.
That's right. So, with that, we're going to jump right into what we've been playing. And what have you been playing, Braun?
I've finally busted out Bad Company 2 and started playing again. And got my butt handed to me for a couple games. I still love that game. That game's still so much fun.
So you're going to get the Vietnam pack when it comes out?
Yes, I will, but it's kind of one of those things that I am blaming Activision because they priced their stuff so high that now everybody's going to be doing it. Because Activision, if you remember, Activision was, three new maps and two old ones for like five new maps or something like that, and they charged $15.
Yeah.
And the Bad Company Vietnam, now it's three maps, but they're also changing like a bunch of other stuff. You know, everything's reskinned. It's almost like an entirely different.
Well, they're calling it an add-on. It's like a DLC. It's not.
Yeah.
Even though it's just a reskinning. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a map pack, and it's $15. I don't know. I'm definitely getting it. I don't know why $5 just makes a huge difference. You know what I mean? I don't know why everything I just like $10 sounds like a good thing for that. But it, like you said, it is an add-on, and I don't want to complain about it. So it's a game that I love, but yeah, it's one of those things where I don't want to argue for one game, you know, having high DLC costs that I think is too high, and then say this one's okay because it's just something I like. You know what I mean? I want to be fair and say, you know, I know it is a reskinning and everything, but it is just like three multiplayer maps, supposedly. I'd have to, you know.
I think it's a lot more than just that. I mean, it's there's more to it. There's different weapons, different vehicles. It'll be different. Yeah. Sorry, I still get a. Still got a stupid cough, and plus my dinner just arrived, so it's early here.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot more, and it's going to be really cool, the music and everything, and so, but yes, I am definitely getting it.
Oh, cool.
But other things I've been playing? NHL, NHL 10. I'm still... So here's what happened, and I kind of explained this to you yesterday, but I want to see if anybody else has bumped into this problem. In NHL 10, when you do be a pro, it puts you in the minors, basically, and you play so many games, and then it moves you from the third line to the second line to the first line, and then they eventually call you up. Well, usually getting called up takes about, you know, 16 to 20 games, let's say, depending on how you're playing. So about 20 games, I didn't get called up. I got traded to another team. And I was just like, I'm not doing that. So I quit out to the dashboard and I came back in.
Wait. Don't cut that story short because I thought that was kind of humorous.
What?
Why did you not want to get traded to another team?
Oh, because I got traded to St. Louis.
All right. Give us the whole story.
Well, I'm not a Blues fan. So... It's the same story I told you. I'm not a Blues fan, and they're in our division currently, and I'm a Blue Jackets fan. And I want to be on the Blue Jackets, so they traded me to St. Louis, and I was just like, yeah, get out. No, I'm not going to St. Louis, so I quit out. And it's not because I'm horrible at the game or anything.
it's just because you don't like St. Louis.
Yeah,
right.
I'm not a Blues fan.
There you go.
So, even though like Brett Hull and everybody was on there. So what I did is I quit off the dashboard, I came back in, I played that game again, expecting the game to, you know, move me up or do something with me again, and it didn't. So I played another game, and another game, and another game, And now I'm 30 games in, and I'm just like, when are they going to move me up? I'm on the first line. I'm, you know, the best. I have the best stats around, and I'm just not getting caught up, and it's starting to drive me crazy. But I'm playing NHL 10. And the cool thing about NHL 11 is they give you like a four-game preseason or a three-game preseason. And if you play well enough and you meet all the grades, they just automatically move you up before the season even starts. They move you onto your pro team. And I just wish they could do that now. So NHL 10. And, of course, I've been playing Halo Reach, trying to get through the dreaded warrant officer rankings. They take forever. But eventually, today, I made captain. So now I'm a captain.
Cool.
And I got my achievement for being a captain.
So now, look is out. Is that after a warrant officer?
Assassin, I'm on my way. Yes, captain's after warrant officer.
Because I'm a warrant officer now, and it's taken a while. But
yeah, those it took 2.5 weeks for me to get a warrant officer. Now I don't get to play every day or anything like that. But you know the rankings are, if you go on and you look at them, I don't know for sure what they are. All the other ones, but you know it's like okay, 12,000 to rank up, 15,000 to rank up. When you get in a warrant officer, from warrant officer to one is 33,000. From one to two is 33,000. From 2 to 3 is 33,000. And from 3 to captain is 66,000. I mean, it is the largest gap in the game at this point in time for the rankings. And then once you get captain, it's back down to like 20,000. So, I mean, these are huge gaps. And I guess the reasons why – I'd have to ask Gabbers actually or anybody else – or Lady Dog maybe he can explain on one of the shows. But the reason why I understand is so you have enough credits to pay for the stuff that you're going to be able to unlock. But I don't know. It's the largest one there. So, but I'm a captain now. So Leedy Dog and Soul Assassin, who are Lieutenant Colonel grade threes, you guys better watch out because I'm on my way.
And I bet they feel threatened.
Of never catching you. I'm on the first step of going nowhere, basically. But that is what I've been playing. So what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? It feels like what have I not been playing this week. I've actually been doing a lot. I tried some demos out. The first one was Vanquish, which actually I was surprised because I guess for some reason I thought the game was like a first-person shooter, but it's more of a third-person. It's more of like Lost Planet, that type of shooter, action shooter game, I guess kind of what I would – because to me it's more of action. I mean it is definitely a shooter, but it's more that I think that third-person styled, and it actually was – pretty neat. There was a lot going on. It was pretty chaotic, and I found it pretty fun. So I actually ended up adding that to my rental list.
I'll have to try that out. I actually have my Xbox magazine here in front of me, and it's on the disc.
Yeah, check it out. I was impressed. It looked pretty fun. The next demo I tried was Enslaved, and I found that to be – at first I was kind of like, okay, this is, you know, maybe not that thrilling. It's kind of a little strange. But as the demo kept going, it was like – it was kind of weird because it wasn't so much the movement or the action or the fighting of the game. Again, it's kind of like a – it's an action, third-person action game, and it's not a shooter because you end up with some kind of staff or something that you fight with, but you can get lots of power-ups. But as the story was going, it got kind of interesting, and I don't want to say anything because I know when I first – all I'm going to say is you're like on this spaceship, you're like on this prison ship, and you end up getting out – and the ship is crashing, and near the end of the demo, something pretty cool happens, and I was just like, whoa, what is going on? And it made me want to know about the story, And I don't ever get something like that. I'm, you know, usually to me it's like, was the game fun? Was it fun to play? I'm not as much in the story that much. And this one was like, I want to see the rest of this because I want to know how did this happen? And I don't want to say much because I don't really want to ruin the kind of surprise or what I thought was a surprise for anybody, but check out the demo. You'll know what I'm talking about. And it's interesting. It was an interesting game. I would recommend everybody check that demo out too.
I've heard a couple of people actually talk about it and say it's really good, so I might have to try it out now.
The other one is Star Wars Force Unleashed 2 demo. I tried that one, and it was what I expected. I've read articles about it saying they improved the throwing mechanic. I still don't think they did. It's still hard to throw. But it's the same game to me. It's just more of the same, which was good in the first game. So, you know, I look forward to this one anyways.
Throwing, like throw mechanic as in like picking something up and throwing it?
Yeah, like you can force throw objects. Yeah. And it's like you can pick them up, but then it's like to throw them at somebody. I had problems in the first game trying to get it, and supposedly they fixed it or worked on it. But to me, it's still tricky.
It is kind of weird. I don't know how it is in the first one, but like in this one, it's like you pick it up and then you have to start moving it like toward the way you're throwing it. And then you let go your button and it like launches it. I think it would be better if you would just like pick it up and then hit like the force push or something.
Yeah. Throw
would make more sense than the way they did it. Cause it was kind of, I'm like picking the box up and like moving it and it's hitting other boxes and stuff. I'm like, what in the world am I doing here? And then I kind of push it forward and let go, and it like launched it. I'm like, why don't they just let me set it up and then hit the force push and just let it launch then? You know, it was kind of weird.
That would probably make too much sense.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So, all right, so out of the demos, I did play some Halo Reach. I did make Warrant Officer, and I'm close to making the next grade of Warrant Officer. I'm still in that, what is it? There's three tiers, right? You get your rank. It's Warrant Officer 1, 2. Yeah, okay. 1, 2. So I'm in the first one.
Okay.
So, but I'm at the end, so I still got two more tiers to go. And then I haven't played it because I played it like the beginning of the week. Haven't played it since because I picked up something called DJ Hero 2. Now, I enjoyed the first game, which is surprising because that's not my style of music in any way, all right? But I found the game to be fun. So I thought, I was going to rent this one, but I'm like, man, the other day I was like bored. And I'm like, I've got all these Xbox games, but I really don't feel like playing anything. I'm kind of bored with them. And I went into pre-order Rock Band 3, and I'm like, you know what? Let me just get DJ Hero 2. So I bought the game. I've already beat the single player campaign, and I loved it. It's better than the first game. They have done some really nice game changes. They've added some new features to the gameplay. They've fixed some things that I didn't like about the original game, and the music. I liked the music in the first one, but I think this is even better. There's some really nice mixes. There's one that it's Superstition and War. And you probably think, what? That's kind of strange. But it's actually a really good mix. It's really good. There's actually also a Metallica song in here, which I thought was interesting. Oh, shush. Just because it's the only Activision game without a Foo Fighter track on it.
No, I'm just not a big fan of Metallica anymore.
But it's a very fun game. They've done some stuff with, like when you're playing even in the campaign, if you have a friend who's played that mix, it shows like their score. It's not so much their score. It shows like, it's kind of like a bar chart. Or a bar graph, and it shows a little flag at the top, and it says their name, right? And as you go through the game, there's like the little bar keeps going up closer and closer. And basically, you know, it shows like who your next friend is. It's like, so if someone did really bad, it's going to show them. And you can see everybody on your friends list, like where they've rated on that song score wise. And so you're almost like trying to compete against them, even though you're in the single player game. It's like that constant, remember from Trials HD, you're always trying to outdo your buddies on the leaderboards, on your friends leaderboards. This is like built into the campaign. Which I thought was really neat, and I liked it. So, and then you can challenge your friends. If you do really good, you can send them a challenge. You know, try to beat my score on this mix. The multiplayer is really, really good. They've got DJ battles, and they've got some different game modes where you can either just play and try to get the best score. Which is they call it star power mode. And then there's a couple where you like bank your your streaks. So if you're on a streak of 50 notes or, you know, scratches and whatnot, if you're in it and you hit 50, you can hit the what would be in Guitar Hero, the overdrive, or in Rock Band, the overdrive button or star power button. You'd hit in DJ Hero, it's called Euphoria. Well, in this particular mode, you don't build that up when you hit the Euphoria button. It banks your streak. So, cause like if you've got a 50 note streak and then you miss note 51, you're back to one. Your score is essentially one. It's like you've lost everything you've done. And then like the winner is those who bank the most points. So it's real interesting because you could be on a part where, and you only get so many banks to start out with. So you can't just constantly be banking. You only get three. So if you've used them all, then you have to get one of those star power runs to earn the Euphoria, which actually in this case earns you a bank slot. So, if you're not really good, like I have a real problem scratching. I always seem to fail and miss, and that ruins it. So I'm always trying to bank before I see a scratch come up. And it's neat. And if you're really good, I mean, you can go through the whole game and not bank anything, and then you bank at the end. But it's a lot of fun. There's also ones where it's like checkpoint based. So it's like take the mix and cut it up into like nine. Well, no, they cut it up into about, I think about 18 sections or so. And they call them checkpoints. So if you can do a certain section, like 100%, and your opponent misses one note, then you win that section. And then it goes back and forth. So you could lose a couple sections, win a couple sections, and it's like a constant fight back and forth with the other guy. And it really makes it interesting.
And that sounds cool.
And I think they've done a great job with the online, the single player. The single player was a lot more streamlined and better handled, I thought, this time than last time. Last time it was kind of like just all in your face. Here's all this stuff. This time it seemed more of a progression. And I'm talking about the interface, the way they laid it out for you to go through was just better. I really enjoyed it. If you liked the first game, I highly recommend the second one. It's a lot better. And I enjoyed the first one. So that's the first one being good. They have actually improved on it with the sequel. So if you enjoyed the first one, you've got to play the second one. I think you'll really, really like it. And they have experience points and stuff for playing against people online. And there's medals and tags and all these things to unlock for playing online. There, so it's, you know, it draws you back. And I never played the online, the first one, because I was like, you know, I was just learning the game. This one, it's like, okay, I beat this, but I want to go play online. And I've actually been able to beat some people that were ranked higher than me. You know, just, I hit like, you know, uncertain, and then some I can't, you know. But I've been able to do fairly well enough to enjoy the game and keep playing. So, and I hate to say it because it's an Activision game, but...
Ooh.
but the game is good. It really is. So, but that's what I've been doing this week.
All right. For Friday Night Life, Soul Assassin, we opened up a community. Soul Assassin said, I want to play by company too. So, Soul Assassin, Convoy, Clef 13. We were on four main team. Of course, we couldn't party up, so there was Raven, and I think Fair Power sent messages as well. Unfortunately, we can't party up, so we can only do like the four-person team until the update comes out. Which, has there been a release date on the update? Because I saw a post sometime this
on which
weekend,
update?
Dashboard update.
The official one is
due
out
about
on
the 26th.
November 4th, I believe. When I think it's when Kinect releases. They may push the dashboard a little early, but right. I think Kinect comes out November 4th. So the dashboard should be out right before then.
Right, and I saw something on Twitter or something where somebody said, have you guys officially announced, or am I just seeing something on the like the 26th or whatever, which is kind of weird because that is a Tuesday, which is normally when they do like dashboard releases. I think in the past have always been on Tuesdays. So, but I haven't heard anything. That's why I'm just asking because I have no clue when it is. But that's, I mean, until that comes out, we're having trouble doing parties, which is all right. So I apologize for the people that wanted to get in, but we got on there, played some. It was fun. For Friday Night Life, I checked the forums. A lot of people, I guess that double XP weekend is coming up for Gears 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, where it's not actually double XP. It's like, what, 31 times or something?
It's like, yeah, it's like times 30. That's next weekend.
Yeah, yeah, for the week, but it starts on Friday, right? It's the 29th through 1st.
Yeah, I'll be all over that.
Okay.
Because I'm like ranked 70, I think, so I want to get to the rank 100.
And you need to have all map packs, if I'm not mistaken. Like all their DLC?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what
I
think.
You've needed it in the past.
Yeah. So I am not able to play because I don't have – actually, I don't even have Gears 2. Well, one of my boys does, but I still don't have all the DLC for it. But October 29th, FNL. When are you going to be on playing? You going to play Friday?
I will be playing, but it won't be until 8 o'clock my time, which is like 8 Pacific time. Because right now, because of the way the time, because Arizona doesn't change their time, I'm actually the same as Pacific time. So, okay. 8 Pacific time.
8 Pacific time.
Which is what, 11 your time, I think?
That would be... Yes.
So, 11 Eastern
o'clock
time.
Eastern time. I mean, I'll be on at 9 o'clock. And actually, we might be recording that Friday as well.
Ah.
Ah.
Good so, point, because it is Halloween weekend. So, we're going to probably have to play that FNL by ear. And if we end up recording, then we'll jump on and play afterwards.
Right.
So.
And I'll be on at 8:30, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time playing something. I can't play Gears 2. I apologize, everybody, but we'll find something to play. And but that's what the community's asking to play is Gears 2. So there's going to be people on playing Gears 2.
Yeah, and if you
you don't have to play with us. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, you do.
Well, they can get a bunch of people in the community and play some Gears 2. So.
Well, it's we definitely want to get a group. I'll try to get something going in the forums too about that specific game and time because we would like to try to get – there's a particular mode you can play in a way to boost drastically all that XP. And that's – so it's a lot easier. Last time they had it, a lot of people already had the rank 100, so there were people – you'd have people come in and try and spoil it for the people that are wanting to do the boost. And so we'll try to get enough of us that we can do our own boosting session in Gears 2, and people will rack up the points real quick. Yeah, real quick. So, I mean, I did this last time it came out. They did it over a weekend. I went from ranked nothing, you know, zero to level like 70. I'm in the 70s in a single weekend.
Wow.
And that wasn't playing 12 hours a day. I mean, that was, you know, it went quick. And I guess their XP this time I think is more than last time. So Because I think that was like a times 20 last time. And this is like times 30, so.
Yeah.
So.
There you go. F and O. So now we can start on topics. And the first one I had, I wanted to see what your input was on the new Xbox.com. So you messed around too much with it, or I've been actually out there playing around.
Yeah, I'm on Xbox.com every day.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I like to poke in even in the middle of the day when I'm working. I like to look to see who's on and what they're playing and pretty much, you know, check messages. And I love the new message, the way they fix the messages that, like, you can go into it and delete it from the page. Like, as soon as you read it, it's like you stay in that mode. It's not like you go, yeah. You don't have to like click a million times to get back to it. Cause like before when you'd, if you would reply, then it would say, okay, your message has been sent, and you'd say, okay, then you'd have to go back to all your messages, and then you'd have to go back into the message and then say, delete it. Here, it's like you can delete right from that main mailbox, if you will.
Yep.
So they've streamlined that, and I do like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, I like all the stuff, like the friends list, viewing the profiles. I really like how the profiles, or even your profile, that shows you like what you've been doing, games you've been playing. And we kind of joked, you popped in the what Windows Live
game Windows. Room,
on Game Room on your computer. And right when you hit in there, I hit Xbox.com. It already says you're in Game Room. It was like instant, which is really cool. Have you messed with the avatar editor?
Yes.
Okay. I really like that. It doesn't really matter as far as changing clothes or whatever, because there's no big difference in that. The thing that I really like is changing your gamer picture. Did you try changing your gamer picture yet?
No, I have not done that yet.
When you go in there, they have preset, like not animations, but preset poses that you just click on. And then it puts your guy in that pose, and you can manipulate that pose like in any, like anything, like a fist, like if you're going to fist pump, you can click on the fist pump thing. Your guy's in a fist pump. And then if you move a slider, like it'll spin you back and forth. But then there's like this plus and minus side. Or wait, hold on. Where is that? Customized pose. It looks like a little, like movie. Like take one, take two, whatever those things are.
Uh-huh.
And you slide it left and right, and it actually manipulates the guy's pose. Like he'll do a fist pump, like flexing. So then you can capture it at any point in time in that motion if it's not exactly what you want to do as far as the pre-pose. And then you take the picture, and then you can save and change your backgrounds and stuff like that. That's the part that I really like. There's a little issue with it, though, because – it takes a while to update, and it still hasn't updated on my Xbox yet, which I'm wondering if that's because I'm in the new dashboard. So I'm not really too concerned about that until then. But, you know, I got this pose of like an all right, like yes type of pose. And I'm just kind of waiting on it to update. I was like, I got my hands in the air, basically, like hooray, like touchdown type thing. And I have that picture taken, and I'm just kind of waiting for it to kind of go over. But that's the part that I like that a lot. I think it's really cool. And then your download history and stuff. So you've always been able to see your download history, and you might be able to do this on the current dashboard. But you can go and see your download history, and then you can add it to your queue, but it's like it's separated between games and demos and marketplace. So it's real easy access. You know, if you would happen to lose your hard drive or Red Ring or anything like that, where you have to like re-download stuff, that's like the easiest place to do it. Like don't do it from your Xbox, go into Xbox Live and do it from there. So.
It's interesting. As you were talking, I just updated my avatar. So I just changed his clothes from the website. So it's real simple, yeah. But it's still, I've noticed some props still don't work. Some shirts and tops still don't work. So, I'm hoping
have you done the
that
transfer
they fix
thing?
It. Transfer
have you done the transfer? Like the transfer, there's like when you go into marketplace, like it like converts your old items to the new style.
Oh yeah, I've seen that happen. That's happened a couple of times, but
yeah.
it still doesn't have everything.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that gets fixed.
Like the Crackdown helicopter still doesn't display. I've got the Snoopy Red Baron, Sopwith Camel. Yeah. Those don't the props. The barbecue works. The lightsaber
even
works.
Even some of the default stuff that they have in their thing isn't working.
Probably. So they'll need to work on that. But yeah, the gamer picture I do like that. That's kind of neat. So
pretty cool. I do like it. Trying to think some of the other things. Family Center, I think that's new. Which where you can control your family settings. Like even from the new dashboard, I can control any of my kids' gamer tags that are under my account. Since I'm the parent, I can change their 360 settings from my 360, and then when they turn theirs on, it sets their settings up to based on what I did.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. It was really nice. And actually, some of the settings that you have there, you couldn't even do on the old Xbox. Like when you're under the age of 17, like there is no content. Like you can't get any like 17 or older content at all, which is like a lot of demos and things like that. And with this new parental thing, even though he's underage, I can still grant him access to see that in the marketplace, which is nice because, you know, he's old enough to be all right with that for certain things. So. But, yeah, I set him up and go from there. One of the other bugs is since I have updated my picture, it's really weird that all the caching and stuff that happens on the site, like none of the pictures change. You have to actually like close all your browsers out and get it to work because they obviously can't seem to figure that part out. But that's all.
Cool. Yeah, it's I think the one thing if I don't like was that when I used to look at Xbox.com and look at my friends list, and already I can't remember if there was an icon. I thought there was like an icon next to the name showing what game they were playing. And now you see their gamer tag or their gamer picture instead, and you've got to like kind of look at the text to see what they're playing. So it's not as easy to see what someone's playing. It's one thing I don't like, but it's like a cosmetic thing. You know, it's just getting used to a different way of looking, but it just doesn't, nothing seems to pop as much as it used to.
Under friends?
Under a friends list. Like it shows you what they're playing.
What you're saying.
You know, it's like you got to read. Oh, okay. And maybe I'm weird. Maybe it was just bigger text last time but I thought there was a picture. I thought you could see what game they were playing. You know, like the game's gamer picture was there when they were playing something. But
no, true.
I could have sworn that's the way it was, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if you go under just click on My Xbox where it gives you like the slider type thing of all your friends who are online, you even have to look at you have to look below them to read it in text.
Right.
And then. The freaking advertisements, man, drive me nuts. They're really starting to bug me now. On the site, I don't care on the site. You know, it's their site. But on the Xbox itself, it's starting to like it to me.
I did notice, you know what? I'm going to turn my Xbox on real quick because I noticed something. Was it yesterday that I'd never noticed before? And there was a thing that, and maybe you have it turned on and I don't, that you can turn off the partner, like their partner ads. So I'm going to pull up my dashboard real quick. Huh. And hopefully this isn't something that I have that's different from everybody else. Because I'm still in a different beta, so which is about to end, thankfully.
Right.
In fact, I no longer have... They pulled all the games. But if I go to – now, if I go up to the – where did I see it? I'm sitting here doing this. This is live, folks. Talk about wasting people's time.
That's not exactly what I was going to say.
Okay, it's under, if you click on your game, if you go to the My Xbox section, and of course the first one is that it says, you know, play the game that you have in there. And then right next to it, it's got your gamer, your avatar. You highlight the box with your avatar on it, select the A button. You get a bunch of more boxes. You go over to the third one to the right. It's called Online Safety. And one of the things that I've got mine set for custom, and it says not allowed, voice data collection and partner marketing. Now there's a bunch of stuff that's allowed. And one of the things that's allowed is Xbox marketing. So I was wondering, I was like, wonder if I can turn all that off. And change. So let me just try this. I'm going to go into Xbox marketing and I can opt out. Now, opt in if you want insider information, news on games, latest releases, downloadable demos, videos, and other rewards and promotions. So that's by default probably turned on because I'm already in. But you can look at your partner marketing and see if, you know, if that's it. Now, I don't know if this is related to your, what is it called? Your Windows Live ID. And maybe this is just an email thing, but I found it kind of strange that it was here. And maybe that's, if you've got that turned on, the partner, marketing turned on, maybe that's where you're getting all the extra ads.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind the ones that say, hey, this game is, here's like this week's new game or this week's demo that came out, or you know, some of the Xbox.com's like, hey, find out how to strategy guide or something like from IGN. But really, like cars, like buy a Nissan or buy a Ford or you know, eat Doritos and crap like that. Really, honestly, I really don't care. So, but I don't know. I just want to go over Xbox.com. If there's something other people like that we haven't covered.
Well, then, that's definitely not going to change it because I just went to Inside Xbox and there's that one box that says advertisement and I'm seeing an advertisement for a movie right now. Oh, so awesome. That's not going to affect. And is that the only box you're talking about? Is just the one with the movie?
It's
like a video. Everything else is Xbox
under,
related.
Anything under, not My Xbox, but like Inside Xbox, I think.
Right.
Just like that whole section is, it's got some information and then it's got like just advertisements through there. And under videos is like you do have the movie stuff. Under games you have, they're just spotty here and there. Just random advertisements. It's nothing that, like I said, it was starting to bug me. It's nothing that I'm kind of tuned it out a little bit, but now it's just kind of like, ugh, okay, I'm not buying your car, shut up.
There's a surefire way to avoid all that. Change your settings when you turn your Xbox on, it launches the game and the disc in the tray. Yeah. not what you want though, right?
No.
So, all right, well anyways, we should probably move on to something more interesting, because we do have interesting stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
I think
your next one, which I have somebody backing that up as well, and I can tell you their story.
It's rant time, baby. This has happened to me on more than one occasion, and it's real irritating right now because the fact that I am in the Kinect beta, I do get different. I get all the dashboard updates and there's more stuff and they're changing that all the time. So it happens a bit more frequently. And I don't mind. It's already annoying when I get the update because on top of the stuff that all the others who have the dashboard now, the new ones, all the stuff you got to deal with there when it starts up, the Kinect people have got a whole bunch of reconfiguration stuff and stuff that it has to go through every single time. And it's like you sit here letting it do all its calibrations and all this stuff every time. And it's annoying. Okay. But I can deal with that when I get an update, when I turn my Xbox on and says, you have a new update. I can deal with that. When when I'm I thought we had technical difficulties, but looks like we're still going.
Yeah, that's good.
When Bron, your message, I thought you lost me. I thought you were out of the call, but
I lost.
When I'm in the middle of a game of Halo Reach or any game, but this happened to be Halo Reach, and I'm in the middle of the game, online, multiplayer, and all of a sudden, the game ends, I get booted off live, I'm like, oh, bummer, what happened? I just lost everything. And then it comes up and says, there's a new update for you. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Now, I've been online playing for a while, and I am sorry, that ticks me off to no end that Microsoft can't seem to make it where your Xbox only gets an update when it turns on. It's like they flipped the switch, and because I happen to be online, it immediately kicks me offline and forces me to do an update even when I'm in the middle of a game. And that is garbage. That is wrong. You know, this is a game console, period. It number one thing it does is a game console. And when people are on it, they're most likely going to be gaming, you know. And even if you did it and I was sitting here with the family, we're watching Netflix, all of a sudden you're going to interrupt my Netflix and make me do a download and go through all this stuff and say, okay, family, come back in 10, 15 minutes when it's done. And we'll try to finish our movie again. And that's a bunch of garbage now. And I did report it, and they basically was like, yep, that's just the way it is. Too bad. you know? And I got a response back because I'm in the beta test group. And I was just like, look, this is ridiculous because, you know, you guys, your own company makes networking software, which applies policies and stuff upon next login. You know, why can't you make your console do the same thing? And they're just like, now, the response was, it's the way it is. It stinks. We have to deal with it too. Supposedly, they're going to fix that in the future, but
well, whatever. Funny thing is just to kind of go against that, or maybe for like some firepower to respond to that, is how come when I start a game, you shut off all my active downloads and have my active downloads stop communicating. So when I start a game, how about you stop communicating for an update while I'm playing? If it's doing one thing, then it can do the other.
Exactly.
You can turn it off. If you can turn off active downloads, which is one of the things that aggravates me, I'm playing a first-person NHL game, yeah, that might communicate with live to get some stupid information a little bit here or there. Oh, download my, you know, 20 meg demo or whatever game that I'm downloading. You shut that off right at the beginning and say stop communicating so we don't disrupt live or ruin your gaming experience, then why not do the same thing for updates, because that is a huge –
yeah, that disrupted my gaming experience the other day, yeah. I can tell you. I didn't even get back to Halo that night.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing, you know, speaking of Halo, is, you know, the weekly challenge is kill 30 people in one match. That's the weekly challenge.
Yep.
And let's say you're in the 20s and you're trying to get that 30, like
– bam, you're done.
Like Mr. Gabbers was doing this week, and all of a sudden get nailed with an update. And it kicked him out, and he's like, I forget how many he was close to. He's going to have to let me know, or maybe he can put it in the comments how close he was to getting his 30 kills and then got booted for that update. I think the same one you're talking about.
Well, thank goodness I wasn't in that. It was just I suck at the game. I didn't lose anything of significance, but it was a point that we'd finally gotten this group together. We were in a party together. We were playing, and then bam, I got booted to get this update, you know, and it's like, well, I never even got back with those guys the rest of the night because by the time I got around to getting back in, I was kind of so frustrated I just didn't even want to play, and a couple of the other guys had just gotten off.
Right.
You know, they're like, oh, where'd Wing go? You know, so.
Exactly.
But uncalled for, it's ridiculous, and they really, really should fix it. I mean, Yeah, in a perfect world, I mean, it doesn't happen that often that they push updates, and I understand it's a beta test time, but you know what? I don't mind beta testing it, but don't drop me out in the middle of my match.
Yeah.
Push it out when I log in. It's not that complicated.
And I think in this dashboard beta, this one has had a ton of updates compared to the past.
Yes, it has.
I mean, it's had a lot. And I'm hoping that, you know, it seems like everything's pretty stable, though. Some of the stuff actually seems a lot quicker, like going to my games and stuff like that I have on my hard drive seems to be 1,000 times faster than what it used to be. It used to be you would go there and it would just sit there and take forever to show you which games you have so you can pick one to play. But, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And it seems like every time I come to turn my machine on, I got another update. But that's why I was kind of hoping that 26 is a true date, so then maybe it'll stop. But
that would be nice.
Yeah. But that all? On to the next one?
Sure. It was a mild rant. I tell you what, if we were recording the other day, I would have been a lot louder. As you can tell from the notes, I came and typed that in right as it was doing its update. I was pretty ticked off.
Yeah, we won't repeat what's in there. We might not be allowed to podcast anymore.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
It's nothing bad, but I was upset.
Yeah. So. I talked to you last night, or was it earlier today? It was last night, right?
Last night.
Yeah. And it's kind of crappy that Kyle and Rob aren't here. They're both very busy again, school and work. But I was trying to think of the words I was trying to come up with. And what it was is it's gaming innovation. So you can always say, oh, look, you know, Nintendo is such an innovation, or, you know, they did this, this, and this. Well, what I want to do is I want to talk about gaming innovation basically between the Xbox and the 360 only. And we'll go from there. And this is not just Microsoft. It's any game, any company within these two generations. And we'll talk about them here. And then I'm going to put up a community talk back where people can comment on the ones that we're talking about now. They can add their own. But then in the community talk back, I'm going to open up to all systems and the past. So then you can like bring in your Atari 2600s or PCs and companies through like that. But I want to just stick to the Xbox stuff since it's the Xbox podcast. Plus, it'll keep it at a reasonable time. So, and Kyle, when you're listening to the
Kyle, man, I'm out of here. You can do the show on your own. Gonna insult me like that.
But I listed a few. And then I see you're listening some. So let me start out, and I'll start with the ones that I just came off the top of my head. And the first one, of course, which has started in the original Xbox, but has just came around and has become huge in the 360 time, is Xbox Live.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Well, you can say that online gaming and communities and stuff like that. It's been around the PC for such a long time, but as far as the console, Xbox Live is the best out there. And they've done just a heck of a job with it that it is definitely one of – I'm going to have to clear my throat here. Hold on a second.
They're really the first and the best, because really you didn't really have any service or community options like Live where it brought everything together in one with your, you know, in the original Live, it was your, like, you brought people into the game and you had voice chat within the game. And then with Xbox Live 2.0, you've got party systems, you've got friends lists, you've got, you know, the integrated, no matter what game you're playing, you know, you got your voice chat and all that's built in and everything functions the same way, you know, and I know, sorry, the PC is still way behind. The only PC's games that are kind of getting that are the ones that have Windows Live for gaming. still use Live, and even on the PC, that still lacks behind what Xbox Live has.
Well, they use Vent. You know, you can have Vent, stuff like that.
But you always had to have – it's like, okay, well, we're going to get on at this time, and okay, how are we going to find each other? Okay, well, let's go into the fourth world, room 7 on the blue side. So let's try to meet to that lobby. And then when you're in the lobby, if you got everybody in the right place, then, oh, well, are we going to use Roger Wilco? Are we going to use Ventrilo? Are we going to use TeamSpeak? But then you had to configure all that separately, you know, and it just – you know, no, like Xfire was like a friends list across PC gaming, so you could see what people were doing, and they've expanded on that a lot to, you know, to try to kind of give you a little bit more integration and stuff. But it's just Xbox Live is it's beautiful thing,
right? and I don't want to go into the innovations of like the PC. We'll leave that for the community. But one thing that you could would be Steam. They're trying to do that, but we'll leave that for the community talk back and let them go with that. But yes, Xbox Live. I mean, great gaming innovation, and that's first one that I thought of. Do you want to go with one of yours, or do you want me to continue?
I think I'm gonna say Horde Mode is an innovation. Well, that's not really an innovation. I would have to say co-op. I want to say co-op. Co-op has been around, but I really see co-op has really taken a charge and really become a big focus on Xbox 360, because you had games like Gears of War with the introduction of a Horde mode where it's a little different from a standard co-op where you guys go through the campaign together, but you get a bunch of people together to take on AI, you know, in that type of Horde mode, but you're co-oping together for the same purpose. And I like that. I really like that type of mode as opposed to a multiplayer. I used to really like multiplayer, and now I really prefer co-oping. It's like, yeah, bring your friends along for the game, or get a bunch of you together to do something, and I have so much more fun with that, and I think that's just a huge change to the face of gaming these days.
Right, and I absolutely agree. When I think of like co-op campaign, the first game I think of is Gears of War.
Yeah,
and on the 360, because that's the first one where it was just like grab your friend and go through the, you know, go through there. Now you can always go back to four person co-op, which I think Halo 3 was the first four-person co-op. That was actually through the story. Because you can go back to, like, Grawl 2. How many did Rainbow Six Vegas 2 have? Yeah, it only had two, right?
Two for the campaign, I believe, and then it was four for Terrorist Hunt.
Right, and there's a lot more for Grawl 2 as far as when you did, like, the co-op missions.
Right, online. Yeah, you can get quite a few.
As far as story mode, Gears of War, I think, led the charge on the 360, and then four-person co-op came along with, like, Halo 3. But, yeah, freaking co-op campaign is my favorite. It's really disappointing games like Call of Duty or Modern Warfare 2, they're single-player, because they would be just so much fun in co-op. But that's – in Horde mode, yeah, you're right. It is an innovation. It's a great game type.
Well, you look at games like Left 4 Dead. I mean, that is basically, four-player co-op against the AI. I mean, yeah, they do have multiplayer, but, you know, you bring it in, you and three of your friends to go through that game, and it's a blast. It's so much better that way, I think. I mean, I think there's some drawbacks.
Saving and moving along, like
if you're trying to check something out, yeah, or if you're trying to check something out and you know everybody else is kind of moving on, all of a sudden you can get zapped forward, and you know you may not get as much of the story depending on if everybody's rushing through or if they're taking their time. But you know, I think that goes with the kind of group that you play with, you know. So it's It's definitely a great game mode. I love it.
Well, the speaking of like co-op and stuff like that, one of my next things would be Bungie and leading the way with matchmaking. Their matchmaking just cannot be replicated. I wish they would give that out to everybody because it's done so well. And even like the way they're, I've always kind of had trouble with Halo 2, Halo 3, like their whole playlist and stuff like that. But just their matchmaking, finding matches, getting everybody together, it just works so well. And I think everybody's trying to mimic them and struggling in a lot of ways. But I would say that, you know, it's one of their great innovations that they brought along. So, like one of the first ones. And I guess that would have started back in what, the Xbox days. So they're definitely the first ones to.
Yeah, for Xbox 2. Yeah, for Xbox, for Halo 2.
Yeah, so they're definitely the ones that I think led down that road. Now, other games, they do have, they're good at it. I just, you know, this is one of the top ones, but. Go ahead.
I just don't know, was Halo 2 known for its matchmaking? Because I know Halo 3 was.
I've always known as Bungie's.
Oh, okay.
Just matchmaking in general.
I never played Halo 2 back in the day, and I've played it on PC, but not multiplayer, so I didn't know if it was a big thing back then, too. So.
I got two more that I just want to hit on these two, and then I'll let you go, but because they're both with Bungie. Bungie's video playback. I know I mentioned this a couple shows ago, I think. Just the way that you can take one of your matches that you've played, save it down, and play through it again, see the view of every person in your match, fast forward, no rewind, which is aggravating, no quick jump forward either. I guess rewind, you have to go back in sections, but just the way they did it and the way they kept the files so small, because they just save the core code and then like replay the code through the engine. And that's how they can get that to work so well. And that's the reason why you can see everybody's, you know, see everybody's view or what, you know, you can flip through players or swing around 360s and stuff like that. It's because they're actually saving the core code that's running through the engine. I believe I'm not 100% sure. I'm not like a whiz on it or anything, but nobody has done that yet. I don't know of anybody else that's come close to doing what they're doing with that. And it's something that, like their matchmaking, with matchmaking and video playback, and then the next one would be their Forge or Forge World. If they could just wrap those things up and sell their engine off to other game companies, that would be great to have that just as a standard. Have that as a standard in every game, because it's great. They're all three of those things are just very innovative and great. I know with Forge, like I said, a lot of the stuff you can say that they came out on PC first, I understand. And I'm not saying that Bungie's made up all these things or Microsoft made up online gaming or anything like that. But it's just what they've done for the console and just this short period of time. That's why I would say these are very innovative. But have you messed too much with the video stuff?
No, not really. Just what I had to do to get the achievement.
Oh, I mean, you should really go in there, you know, bring down one of your matches and just swing around and look at the stuff. Like, find explosions and just 360 around the explosions. I mean, everything's there. You're just not locked into, like, a rendered video of you playing. And then you could make your own video out of those and then obviously render those down if you wanted to. But, I mean, it's just the way they've done it is as a computer geek that I am, it's just neat to see that type of, like, software doing that. So,
yeah.
But so matchmaking, video playback, and Forge or Forge World are three things from Bungie that I would say, you know, were great innovations. So what do you got?
Well, I think whether it's an innovation or a nightmare depends on your point of view. achievements.
I knew it was coming.
But, I mean, Xbox led the way. Microsoft led the way with achievements. And, well, I guess you might be able to look back at really DICE in the Battlefield with winning awards. I always think back to Battlefield 2 really kind of being the first game to really – not achievements per se, but giving you something that people were addicted to, going online, watching what they were looking at, what, you know, what medals and ribbons and awards you had, what unlocks you had, what you still needed to do to get to the next one. And, I mean, I was hooked on it. And I was, you know, I would work purposely trying to get an unlock in Battlefield 2. And I'm sorry, I got back to, got off Xbox. But, so I kind of think they're probably the originator of that. But Xbox brought about achievements that would follow you no matter, and you got your gamer score, and it followed your whole persona. And
just your gamer tag.
Yeah. And we've seen the achievement system being used. You know, Sony now has their system. If you play on the iPhone is now put up a game center with achievements that are for some games that set up for the game center. So you're seeing achievements in other games, other platforms. So it's expanded. I think that it's done so well on Xbox that I really think they were the innovators of it, to the point where it is, you know, you can get them on Steam now, I think. So I think that's a huge innovation. And again, it could be a nightmare depending on how you look at it. I remember going after those, and I still will go after stuff. I'll still, if it's, I'm just not like the hounds, you know, the achievement hounds, where I'll play a game to the fullest and I'll play every game just to get all the points. I don't care. But if I enjoy a game, you know, I'll look at the achievements and I'll try things. And the one thing I like about the achievement system is that I've been able to, it's forced me to play games in a different way that I normally would.
Right.
Or to maybe play through and then, hey, guess what? I'm going to go back and try it again. Only this time I'm going to go through as a sniper, or where I went through as a medic last time, or, you know, I might play a different class and I'll try, because, like, especially with, like, Battlefield games, I would always stick pretty much to one class. But with the achievement system in a lot of the games, you get rewarded for trying out these different classes or doing things as this soldier. So I tend to get to play the game, and I think it adds value to you, because you get to, you don't just stay as one thing. You branch out and try new things, and I kind of like that. So. Oh, yeah.
Well, like I said, you're hitting on achievements, just gamer card and having your persona go along with you. Like, you're right about Battlefield and that stuff. And like I said, a lot of stuff's probably going to go back to the PC, because one of the ones I had on here was Call of Duty multiplayer. Their perks and ranking system as an innovation, and you could really tie that back to Battlefield if you would like. But Call of Duty, as far as the Xbox and the 360, everybody's, even Halo has jumped over to that type of, you know, to that type of system. And, I mean, in Halo had medals and things like that as well, but nothing like the way people were addicted to prestiging and ranking up and stuff like that, like they were in Call of Duty. Because even Bad Company has the same thing as as Battlefield 2, but
right.
Call of Duty is the one that sticks in my mind. But as far as your gamer card, even in the PC world, you would have your, you know, BJ Swick 33. But every game that I played in, I always had to put in, you know, oh, I want BJ Swick 33. Oh, it's already taken, or it's this or that.
Yeah.
Here, it's every game, everything. I mean, it's back into Xbox Live. Every game has it. You are the same. You are your person. You are BJ Sook 33. So that is definitely a good one. So an achievement, you're right. That's, those guys have started it all. And you mentioned the iPhone having Game Center. Not only Game Center has started that, but three of the main engines for the iPhone, which is like Crystal, there's what are the other two? Or like a Faint or something like that.
Yeah, Aurora Faint.
and there's one more. Crystal Roar Faint, and there's one more. Like, all of those are all engines, and the thing that they all have tied into them as well is, like, friends and achievements and everything like that. So now they're just sending their achievements to, you know, to the Game Center app. But that's, you know, it's kind of funny that they're all the plus network, you know, plus network.
Right.
Is the third one. They all have achievements. They all have that. So, yeah, they're all pretty much trying to mimic, you know, I think what Xbox has done.
Yeah, so it's definitely a lot of innovation has come out of Xbox.
Right.
So, I think
of some other gaming companies and things like that.
Well, I think
I have two off the top of my head. The
party system too is when we got the new dashboard with the NXC, that introduced parties, because originally you could have
cross game chat.
Cross game chat, but it was a 1-to-1. And then we got the parties. And then we had now they've expanded, right? Weren't we originally limited to 4 in a party?
Yeah, now it's 8.
And I'm sure, yeah. So, you know, that's expanded, and you've seen this, even that type of system, start showing up in other places and other systems. And, you know, it's weird now for me. If I play a game, it's kind of weird to not be in a party. And I got used to that. Now that I'm out here and moved and I'm 2 time zones behind everybody else, I'm very rarely in a party. And it feels weird. It's just, it's weird, you know, because I got so used to it. Yeah, you have to, you know, hey, you can go to work late.
Yeah, exactly.
So. But I think that is. And then, you know, I put on Kinect, but I do think the gaming industry with the motion controls, as much as we don't want it on our Xbox, it's coming, and I think it has the potential to be very huge. I think it has the potential to be – I have a feeling that Kinect has the potential to be a PR disaster, but I will say more on that here in about, 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yep.
And let me look at my calendar when my NDA is done and over.
Well, when you're looking that up, like –
it comes out on a Thursday, but, you know, nothing bad on Kinect, just, you know, and we'll go into it later, but I think motion controls it's a huge innovation.
Right.
You know, and I would put it this way. I got a 3-year-old who can't do the Wii bowling and even my 5-year-old, it's kind of like, it's confused. It took her quite a while with the buttons to try to figure it out. And not, you know, my 3-year-old can sit here and bowl on Kinect with no problem. It's simple. It's real simple for him. And I watched him do it. And I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, it opened up the world of gaming to a younger audience, as well as I've watched some older people here playing Kinect. I had 2 nieces that are high school age. They went nuts over it. I mean, and both, they've got Wiis. And they absolutely went nuts and thought this was the coolest thing. And it's like I couldn't get them off it.
Right. You know? And Nintendo, which is something that we should say for the thing. I mean, motion control and stuff was their innovation.
Right.
I think the Kinect is taking –
it's taking that next step, right? And I guess that's what I wanted to say was I do believe, I know it's early, and that's like my last thing I'm going to say. I believe Kinect is going to be a gaming innovation because it goes beyond holding a controller in your hand. You don't need it. And I really think that we're going to see some things, you know, when the Xbox first came out, you didn't get the best games. The graphics and stuff we're seeing on the 360 today – are nowhere near what they were when the Xbox 360 first came out. People have to get used to the hardware. They have to get used to what it can do, and they build and they improve. Look at the achievement system when it first came out. 5 achievements for the whole game. You know, I mean, you look at some of the original games, that's all they had was like 5 achievements. They didn't know what to do with the system. Okay, now developers have created all these really neat things, viral achievements and stuff like that. They've built on it and they've learned. The stuff that we're seeing with Kinect right out the gate, for the most part, is going to be what you're kind of expecting. Simple party games, stuff like that. But as developers really get to know the hardware, really get to know the system, and that software for that system gets in better and better, you're going to see some amazing things, I really think. And I think that this is an innovation right now what we're about to see launched.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, we can stop on that there, but trying to think some of the, well, some of the other companies. I know I hit Bungie kind of hard, but I want to also mention – now, I don't know who to give the credit to. I know which company you give the credit to, but which game do you give credit to? Would it be Guitar Hero or would it be Rock Band? Which one's more innovating?
Rock Band.
Rock Band? Okay.
I mean,
so same company.
It's the same company.
But I think
you
the,
know
four
what?
Person, the four-person band, maybe that's the next step to the innovation. The first innovation for the music game would have been Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero made it possible. It launched an entire genre. So I guess you'd have to give it to Guitar Hero. It's still Harmonix.
Right.
And they just, you know, and then they just upped their own ante with Rock Band, you know, and then everybody else followed.
Right.
So
Rock Band would be one good one from Harmonix. I want to say, I don't know if you could say innovation, but we did mention Horde Mode, so I want to mention Portal and say that game, you know, just came out. People's like, oh, what is this game? But as far as like a puzzle-type game that, you know, it was pretty innovating. But I just want to kind of give that as a side note. Any other big games? I know people are just going to –
they're going, how could you miss this? How could you not talk about
this? How could you miss this? How could you miss I have one. And it's slipping my mind. what is it where you could carry your character over to the second game?
Mass Effect.
Mass Effect. Yeah, Mass Effect. What do you think about that as far
I,
as
I would say yeah, the I would say yeah, the yes, carrying your game and your decisions from one game to the next, I think that's very innovative. And there was a game I just read about the other day that's going to do the same thing, but it wasn't Mass Effect 3. It was a totally different game, and but it was the same thing. They're going to – your decisions and stuff are going to carry forward to future sequels. And I cannot remember which game it was. But I'd swear I just read that this morning, but I'll have to go back and look at my magazine and see if I read it in there. But so I think stuff like that, you're going to see stuff like that in other games specifically, you know, probably like especially BioWare games you're going to, of course. But I think other companies are going to expand on that and do the same thing because that was really cool.
Trying to think of some of the other stuff. I don't know.
Well, maybe. I think that's a good call out to the community.
Yeah.
Fill in the gaps. Tell us what we missed. And we can cover that next week or in 2 weeks when we get the talk back.
Yeah. It'll be up in the next couple of days. I want to give, you know, listen to the show and go from there. It'll probably be up tomorrow. Okay. But we'll let it run for a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
But on to the next.
All right, Bron, this is going to be my last one, and I know you're excited about this. I'm going to talk about Apache Air Assault. This is a new flight simulator game coming out, and you fly an Apache helicopter. And we posted some videos. I posted a story on our site just the other day with some videos showing some game footage of the game. I am digging this game, and I'm really excited about it. It's coming out supposedly November 16th, and it's being made by the company that made IL-2 Sternova or Sterminova, whatever it was, and it's Gaijin Entertainment. They're making the game, but if you go to – and it's published by Activision again. Gee, they publish everything. But if you go to Activision site or you go to Gaijin Entertainment site, you cannot find this game mentioned anywhere. Yet you go to game trailers, IGN, they've got articles about it. They've got videos on it saying it's coming out. So I'm really like, why is the developer and the publisher not advertising this on their own sites? Does that make any sense?
It doesn't to me. You were talking to me about this, and I was just like, well, what about this? Or maybe try here or try here. That is very strange. It's almost, if you're asking me, like, it's probably not going to come out.
I know. But the game trailers video released the other day was the guy talking and doing the demo was from the company working on the game. So, and he's like, yeah, it's going to be out November 16th, 2010. You know, he's like, it's right around the corner. It's coming out in a couple of weeks. So I thought it was very strange that the company's own website does not have this game listed, and nor does Activision. You know?
Yeah, it is.
So, strange. I don't know, but I really hope the game does come out. I also saw it listed as a $50 title. And I may end up just buying this one outright because, I mean, to me it reminds me of Hawks only in helicopters. And it's co-op.
It does look cool. I mean,
it's got the co-op pilot and gunner co-op mode, so that would be really cool.
Is that we were wondering about that. Same Xbox or Cross Live?
I still don't have that answer. According to the video, the guy said if you were playing same screen co-op. So what he meant by that, did he mean local co-op? I'm hoping there's got to be co-op through Xbox Live. I mean, come on. Today's day and age, to not do that just makes no sense. But I'm really hoping this has Xbox Live co-op included. So that's all I can hope for. But the game looks really fun. I think it'll be a blast.
All right. Is that all you had for that?
Yeah, I just wanted it. I think it's one of those games that are going to get missed.
Maybe they just didn't have a big budget for it.
Could be, but you know, their webmaster could throw up an image, you know, in a news story.
Or Activision could give them like a small page, I guess.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. Maybe I don't know. It's just kind of weird, but look for it. Apache Air Assault. It's coming out November 16th, supposedly. I will definitely have this game if it comes out. And if you like the flight sim games. Oh, and the cool thing, too, because I know we talked about this, Bron, was that they have a mode in there. They have a realistic mode in this game. And you get one helicopter, and you have to take that.
Finish the game.
Complete the entire game with one helicopter. Now, the way they said it makes me think that there's basically – it's almost like there's not going to be a checkpoint or save system. But I guess you'd have to have something. You can't necessarily just sit down and do a whole entire campaign unless it's a real short campaign. But they made it sound like it was pretty lengthy because I thought they said something about 20 different missions or campaign modes or levels. But I don't know. So I don't know if it's going to be – if you die, if you can revert back to a checkpoint or not. But – you know, or
it does look good.
I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a real fun game. So check it out. Don't let that one pass you. If you see Brun and I playing it, you know, if it definitely comes out like they said, then Brun and I will be playing this.
Yeah.
So,
real quick before we move the friends list, I had an innovation I thought of and I wanted to say it when I was writing the story. It was Forza 2. Their car painting.
That's true.
and gifting and their little auction house was very cool. So, but I can stop right there. But those things right there, definitely some of the things we saw, you know, coming out of people as far as painting was freaking great. You know, and we had, you know, one of them on the show way back in the past. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really neat. That was Newborn.
Yeah, Newborn, yeah.
Yep.
So, oh, my gosh, he did a good job on stuff. But
okay. His work was amazing. So,
yeah. All right. If people don't know who he is, look up the Jessica Alba car from Forza 2 if you want to see what he did. That's his. So, very, very good. But friends, this time, we got two talk boxes and one question. Or comment.
Awesome.
Talk box number one, Mr. Captain Hook. And I don't think there wasn't any kids or anything jumping around this time.
No, I don't think so.
So take it away.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Captain Hook. I just wanted to say hi. I wanted to talk about some of the games I've been playing and see what you thought and give my kind of opinion on a couple of them. First is Enslaved Odyssey to the West. They did a lot of motion capture for it, I believe. The guy who did Gollum and Lord of the Rings movies plays Monkey. And they've done all the motion capture where they did with him in Lord of the Rings. They have really, really enjoyed it. A little short game, about 8 hours, I think it took me to beat it. And, I mean, it's a good game. I give it about a 7 out of 10. Man, if you have a chance to rent it or get it off GameFly, you should. It's worth it. Secondly, is I played Ninja Blade, and that game is ridiculously hard. Boss fights are too hard, and shouldn't be that hard. I've had a lot of trouble with it, and I'll try to work my way through it. My next one is Darksiders. It's okay. I know a lot of the reviews came out. People really liked it. I thought it was okay, and I was wondering if y'all played it, you know, and what you thought. Next one is Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay, and Dark Athena. Really good game. I'm playing Dark Athena, enjoying it. Pretty interesting. Sneak through and feel interesting doing that game. We know Rob Van Diesel is in that game, doing the voice, but, have y'all played any of those games, and what do y'all think of them? And, I mean, have y'all thought about getting them from GameFly and everything? That's about it. I hope y'all have a good week. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
Thank you, Mr. Captain Hook, Tennessee fan. Like that shirt. Unfortunately, all the games you rattled off, I have not played. But I will say the one that rings a bell would be the Riddick games. I don't know if you're just talking about one or both of them, but the original one came out during the Xbox, and it was like people talk about it being a very, very, very good game. So I don't think you went wrong with that game. And then the second one, it's either a second one or a remake with extra content, I think. You can't go wrong with those games. As far as the other ones, I can't speak to them because I haven't played them. I don't think Wings even played them either. So, did you play the Riddick games at least? Or
I tried the was it Dark Athena? I think new one. And I just tried the demo and didn't care for it.
Yeah. I think it was extra content on top of the original, but I'm not for sure. I can't remember. It's been a while. But thanks for your input on those games, and I appreciate it. For anybody that has seen it or has any comments on them, you know, comment in the forums or on the show notes. So, next talk box, the crazy but wonderful Dark Eye Defender.
Hey, it's Dark Eye Defender here, and I've got a question for you guys. With the new dashboard coming up, set to release around the launch of Kinect, considering you get new avatars, but really they're not really that new in my opinion. They look kind of the same, but they're more proportioned to a real person rather than a cartoon-ish person. I'm just asking, are you guys going to be redoing the logo with the updated avatars? That is, if Presar decides to log in to make a new avatar. Okay, guys. Bye, guys. See you guys on live.
Thank you, Crazy Man. I mean, Dark Eye Defender. I do love the shirt that you had on. He had the black T-shirt, this Xbox Live T-shirt. I do like seeing myself on there in the Ohio State T-shirt. Go Bucks. So now you're an Ohio State fan because you are wearing Ohio State on your clothing.
that explains why sales are down.
Nice. The most hated college team in the nation. As far as the new lifelike avatars, if they update the application that we use to get the avatars, yes, the images are going to be updated. They may be the images may be updated without avatars at all. I haven't made a decision on that because you may see more changes than just avatars coming. That's kind of all I'm going to say. But it's definitely in the future. It's nothing that's going to change, you know, next week or right when they get released. So yes, we will update them, or I will update them, because I do like to stay with the latest that they have out. But like I said, it all depends on the application, which I'm pretty sure is going to be updated as well. So the answer would be yes. And then Kyle will be updating T-shirts if you want to buy version 2. Maybe we'll make them super cheap. So if for people that did buy one, they can get another. We'll give some away.
They're as cheap as we can make them.
I know.
That's the problem. They are super cheap. We don't make anything on them because we set them as low as we could. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have. We're not big CEOs here and get paid $1 million salaries.
No, the T-shirt company makes all that money. I think we get 25 cents per shirt. I think that's it. Because we set it all the way down to the lowest possible. We don't get nothing because we would rather people buy the shirts. So.
Yeah. So. Walking advertisement. Thanks for talk boxes. And Wing, do you want me to read this since it's a response to my question? Or do you want to read it?
I'll read it. You can answer it if need be.
It's a more of a comment than a question. So.
All right. Convoy says, this is in response to Brian's question in the last podcast about UVerse and the Xbox. UVerse was chosen for this service because it is the only IPT service in the States, I think. It leverages the Microsoft Media Room 2.0 functionality. I have UVerse and am thinking about doing this, but not until November when the service becomes available to existing customers. And then he sends a link for more information. So I remember seeing something on the AT&T page themselves that said it was available. So maybe it was available for sign up or something. You know, and actually when it kicks on in November, so.
Right. And the reason why I asked is the question that he's responding to is, I said, I wonder, you know, we're kind of discussing. I was like, I bet they picked AT&T because it's not widely out there at this point in time. Maybe it's a smaller market, but he explained there it's because they use the Media Room 2.0 functionality, which is, I would love, since you have Convoy, I should have asked you when I was playing you. Plan is I want to ask you how much you like the service, like how fast the boxes respond and stuff like that, because I use those wonderful Citric Java boxes. Sorry for all you Java developers out there, for any are listening, the slowest technology on the face of the planet. Microsoft just completely blows them out of the water. I'm a .NET developer, that's why I say that. But
Java's, you know, horrible, man. I hate Java.
I hit my button, and it takes like 5 seconds for the thing to respond. And then anytime I unplug it, it takes 10 minutes to boot up because it's got it's annoying. So I'm curious on how just the service and the equipment, hardware and software is. But there's the answer, and the link he puts in is for the PDF. I think on AT&T's site. I'll just shove it in the show notes if anybody wants a quick link to it.
Sounds good.
All right. I think that's it.
I think you're right.
All right. Well, for the normal information, you can contact us at contact@thisxboxlife.com or visit the site this xboxlife.com. Hit the link up there for our forums and sign up. Twitter is twitter.com whack this Xbox Life. Facebook, you can get to our group by going to our site, hitting subscribe. I believe it is the word subscribe. I'm actually checking right now. yeah, it's subscribe. It has all the little iTunes, Zoom, Twitter, Facebook. If you click that box right there, a thing will jump down where you can subscribe to anything. You can go ahead and hit follow us on Facebook. And if I missed anything, our music, do you want to give out who our intro and outro music is?
Why? Because you'll get their name wrong?
No.
Times After Dusk.
I just say that because you're wrong. So, yep, Times After Dusk. But so go out there and sign up and you get their album for free when they get it finished.
You need to tell them to finish. I want that album.
I'll mention it to them that people are growing impatient.
We want it now. We want it now.
So. But with that, we will see you next week with Mr. November. Mr. or Mrs. November. And I'm Brun, BJSwick33. Good night.
I am Mark, a.k.a. Wingman709. Take it easy. Later. Stars light the drifting sky.